Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
He was just really, really, really involved in this community. He loved the community, and he thought all people had value and deserved to have kindness, right? And then he also, for the last 22 years, he volunteered at the prison here in Monroe, Washington, the maximum security prison, and he led the ministry there with a couple other guys. They all just would go there every Monday night for a couple hours and just lead a prayer and stuff like that.
63-year-old Henry Groeneveld disappeared from Snohomish, Washington on December 11th, 2017. Henry had worked for the United States Postal Service for 26 years. It was a job that he loved and was very dedicated to. He left work early on the morning of the 11th, which was very out of the ordinary for him to do. He went home, and after a brief discussion with his wife, he left saying that he was going to the river, leaving behind his phone, wallet, and keys. Henry is a man who is loved by so many in his community. Because of this, many members of the local community have been extremely supportive and have come out to assist with searches, but no sign of Henry has been found. What happened to Henry Groeneveld on December 11th, 2017? The police department thinks that he committed suicide, but as each search continues to come up empty, his family wonders if he could still be out there, and they aren't going to give up until they bring Henry home. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 109 of The Vanished, Henry Groeneveld's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner. And it's great for my evening walks, too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. We all expect that one day we will lose our parents, as heartbreaking as it is to think about that. What we don't ever expect is to have a parent go missing, leaving behind so many questions and no closure. I was contacted about covering Henry's disappearance by Liz, who was one of his daughters. She's been searching for her father and pressing to get his story out there with the hope that someone will recognize him or come forward with information. Henry isn't someone that you would expect to go missing. He was a loving father and grandfather who was involved in his church and local community. Even though Henry held multiple degrees, his dream since he was a child was to work for the United States Postal Service.
He really loved the post office since he was little. When he was little, like 8 or 9, his family would travel across the United States and they would have to stop at every stupid post office in every city. When he is 8, that's one of the reasons I loved him, is he was who he was, super weird, quirky guy that loved everybody and wanted everybody to be happy.
Henry did grow up to become a mail carrier and had worked at his dream job for many years.
My dad was a rural carrier with the U.S. Postal Service for 26 years, and he literally loved his job. I mean, I would get 100 stamps every year for my birthday, got stamps for Christmas. I mean, when we used to go on family vacations, we would have to see the post office. That's his thing. He loved his job. That was something that was very important to him. Who he was as a person, I don't know if you saw his high school yearbook, but it says his quote was, "Politeness costs nothing and gains everything." He was that guy that always just went out of his way to say hi to you no matter what, no matter where. He thought all people had value and deserved to have kindness, right? He was the director of the Cubbies program through Awana. I don't know if you know what Awana is, but it's just like Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts for church. It's called Awana, and he ran the Cubbies program, which is for the preschool kids. And so both my older two, I have an 11 and 9-year-old, they went through Cubbies with him. My 4-year-old son is currently in Cubbies with him. And so my 4-year-old keeps going, "Mom, Grandpa Henry is at Cubbies. Did you look for him there?" So sad. So, and then he also very involved in the Samaritan's Purse Project, which is at church. People will make a shoebox full of like toys or socks or stuff. And then they send them over to like a third world country for presents for kids. And so what he used to do is travel around the country to all the different plants where they go through the boxes, making sure there's no contraband or anything bad in it. And then he also, for the last 22 years, he volunteered at the prison here in Monroe, Washington, the maximum security prison. And he led the like ministry there with a couple other guys. They all just would go there every Monday night for a couple hours and just lead a prayer and stuff like that. He was just really, really, really involved in this community. He always took my children to do fun stuff like out for ice cream or to go to Lego Lab at the library. He was always going to the library. And then as a postal carrier, like everybody loved him because he was very personable. Like if somebody moved in, he walked up and said, "Hi, I'd like to introduce you. I'm Henry and I'll be serving you." You know what I mean? He was just always did the best that he could as a post person.
3 years ago, Henry got a new boss at work who was very hard on him. This caused Henry a lot of stress.
He was really hard for my dad because my dad is like 63 and he's older and he's slower. But like my dad was managing it. He used to say, "Oh, that guy's really a tyrant," you know, but he never like threw him under the bus. But he was really hard on my dad, always threatening to fire him because he was slow. And last July or August, he decided to go to the doctor. They did put him on an antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication. But like he was managing it. You know what I mean? Like he was like, "I need help." And like he was going to get it. It wasn't like he was hiding from it or anything. And, you know, he had filed grievances against this guy and, you know, nothing really came of it. It actually just made it worse because then the guy retaliated worse and just was hard on him.
A week before Henry's disappearance, he expressed his frustrations with his boss to one of his daughters. Even though his children had pressed him to complain further, that just wasn't his nature.
He did tell my sister, though, a week before he went missing, "My dream job has turned into a nightmare, and I don't know what to do about it." He did say that. He was very vocal about, like, "This is hard." And, you know, me and my sisters are always like, "Hey, you need to do something." And he'd be like, "Leave it. Let it go. I'm dealing with it. You know, I'm trying." But my dad was like a softer, sweet guy.
On the day that Henry disappeared, he left work early and went home where he spoke briefly to his wife, Linda.
What I gather is he came home around 10 o'clock and he put his stuff on the counter, like all of his stuff, like he was going to sit down. And he started eating some candy. And Linda was confused why he was home, because he shouldn't be home, you know, like he should be at work. And so I think they may have had a little bit of an argument. I'm not quite positive because she's really, really upset. And so she said, "I asked him why he was eating this candy. And he said, 'I'm sorry, I'm not good enough for you.'" This is what she said. He said, and then he said, I "can't take this anymore." I calmly walked out the door and said, "I'm going to the river." And so like for me growing up with him, anytime he got like super pissed off, he would go for a walk, but it was only for like 10 or 15 minutes because he wasn't a screamer or a yeller or hitter or anything like that. You know, like he would just take a breather and then come back. And so that's when she called the police, was when he didn't come back.
There are two rivers that are close to Henry's home, the Snohomish River and the Pilchuck River. I asked Liz if she could explain how far away they were from Henry's home.
He lives on 4th and Union, and the river is right off 1st. So it's like only a 4 or 5 block walk. He was a major walker. Like, to be quite honest, he'd never like to waste a penny on gas. So if he could walk there, he was walking there. And so the Snohomish River is about a 4 block walk. The Pilchuck River, though, is really, really shallow. Really, it's like a creek. The one they believe he's in, the police do, is the Snohomish River. And that's only about 5 blocks away from his house. And there's a bridge there. But see, this was at 10 o'clock in the middle of the day, a bright, sunny, beautiful day, which my dad was super about, like, nature and everything's beautiful and life is wonderful and you're always blessed.
Even though the river was close by, it's also a very busy area, and no one reported seeing Henry go into the water that day.
So there is a First Street Bridge. It's right there, but it's so busy. It's so busy. The way that the police explain this is that they don't have any cameras. He's not on any camera anywhere. Okay. Nobody saw him. There are 2 sightings of him that I feel as a daughter. There were several sightings of him everywhere. From all the people that I talked to, I feel that these are the only ones that are the closest or maybe legitimate. They were of that day. One was at like 10:15 and the other one was at 4:30 p.m. So the police believe he walked around all day on this beautiful day. And while we're all searching for him, I mean, he has like 90 family members within 10 minutes of him. And when we all figured this out, like, we're driving around, we're searching everywhere. And the police were out that he walked around all day and then he jumped off the river at night in the dark. So that's what the police believe he did. But it's all speculation. They don't have proof of any of this.
Due to his wife's statement regarding Henry talking about going to the river, the police have believed from the very beginning that this is where they'd find him.
The consensus with the police is that he is in the river and that he committed suicide. I can't accept that until we find his body in the river. Does that make sense? From what I knew of him and who he was as a person, I understand people do that. And I have read extensively about suicide profiles and stuff like that. And the bottom line is 2 things. His faith was like a fundamental part of who he was. It was like a huge deal. And he didn't have the grit to do it or the guts. That's why we had huge search parties and we looked for him everywhere. I have hired a private investigator just to do my due diligence as a daughter because of what I knew of who he was.
Liz had mentioned some sightings of Henry on the day that he went missing. She told me more about those.
One of them was by the river. He was standing by the river and he explained my dad to a T. This wasn't like a part of any of the reports, but like my dad's super like, it might be now, but at the beginning, the first day it wasn't. He's pretty hunched over, like he's got a hunchback and he's real small. He's about 150 pounds, 140 pounds, a tiny guy. Very prominent, huge nose. Like he has this huge forehead. Like he has very distinct profile. And this guy explained him and he was sitting down by the Snohomish River on a rock. And then he said it was weird because he sat there and it was like he was thinking about something. And then he stood up and he walked down. There's this trail that runs along the river and he started walking down that. But then he came back and started walking back up to First Street. And he said he looked like he was confused or not sure where he was going to go. And so that was the first one that I believed was extremely legitimate because of the way he explained my dad and my dad's mannerisms. It was just spot on in my mind. And then the one at 4:30 Grove Street was reported to the police, but I did not find out about it until that Saturday. So he was missing on Monday. I didn't find out about Saturday because the lady that reported it to the police, she lived on Grove Street, but that is about like 2 blocks away from the police station. So she saw him and saw that he was missing because there were signs everywhere by then and walked to the police station and told the police officer to his face. But there is no record of that in the police report that happened. So she came up to me and she was like, I just want you to know I saw him. And she actually went to church with my dad. And so she knew who he was. And she said it was weird because she said, hi. and he didn't respond. Like, he just kept walking. And so I thought maybe he had amnesia or had like a mental breakdown and was just wandering around like a, you know, like an Alzheimer's patient or a dementia patient. I mean, people's brains are weird, you know? So that's why I was like, we have to search for him, because I thought maybe he got hit by a car or he had a heart attack under a tree, you know, and we live in such a woody place.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
One issue that they've had since Henry went missing is that there are two local people who look a lot like him, which has led to many false sightings.
They are homeless. One of them lives in Granite Falls, and he actually sleeps in the post office. So that was, poor guy has been harassed by so many people. It's not him, though. His name is Andy. One of them in Snohomish that looks a lot like my dad, and he actually said, I really wish I was him. I really do. Because he's been, like, contacted so much.
Due to the suggestion of suicide in the initial call to the police, they didn't immediately do a ground search for Henry.
So because he was reported as a suicide, they couldn't call out SARS because that, or search and rescue, because that is, suicidal patients can be combative. And so I was very upset by the way they did conduct it, but I'll tell you what they did do. The first day when we figured it all out, like, we had a bunch of family members searching, but they flew the chopper up and down the river that first day. But there were no dogs, there was no anything, which I really wish that they had done something like that. And it was all because of the way they felt it was reported. And I tried to change that, but they didn't listen to me. And I know they don't have the resources to do, because they kept telling me, like, it's not illegal to commit suicide. It's not illegal to be an adult and walk away. And I'm like, but, like, I just wish you knew who this person was. Like, this isn't him. Then the second day, they got out a cadaver dog around the bridges, because if he had, like, slipped and fallen, so there was a cadaver dog in several areas, and there was nothing, but that is specifically for human remains, and they did not find anything. And cadaver dogs can actually smell it if they're in the water. They can smell it coming up, I guess. That Friday, so this was a Monday, that Friday, so it was like 4 days later, it was a minus tide, and they did go in the river 2 days in a row with their searching equipment. Like, they actually have imaging equipment in these big eddies where they believe that he would have jumped in. They found nothing. After that happened, they felt that the situation was like there wasn't anything left to investigate. So on Wednesday, though, they had moved it to major crimes. And so we got assigned a detective. He's been helping. He's been helping a lot. But also he says, like, we believe that he has jumped in the river and his body will surface. So then they told us that there's an algorithm, a scientific algorithm, when bodies surface in the water. And they said it would be around the 25th, like Christmas time, because of his weight and the water temperature and the water height and all this stuff. Well, that day came and went, and there's still nothing. And I have personally had several boats, dozens of boats and kayaks and everything searching these rivers just in case, you know, because the police aren't out there. To my disbelief, there, since my dad went missing, there has been 5 bodies found in that river. I had no idea, but none of them are my dad. And so he is in Namus. He is on the Washington State Police Patrol or Washington State Patrol website for like missing people. We've got him on all those websites. And we did that. The police, I really believe that the detective just kept thinking he was going to surface in the water and then never did, you know? So they were putting off all this stuff. So me and my sisters have really pushed just so that people are aware, because my dad seriously knew people all over the country. We have family in Germany. I mean, honestly, he could go somewhere and they would have no idea that he's even missing. So not that he would, it's just he could.
Even though the police department has stopped searching for Henry, the community has come together to look for him and support the family.
I had a grid search that I conducted with some help of the fire department, just volunteers, like not on a professional capacity at all. And we had over 200 people searching. We spent 4 hours at City Hall and made all these grid maps. And it was amazing that these people that don't even know me or my dad, they're just out there because this is Snohomish community, you know, and they are here for their people here, you know, and they see that how many people actually loved my dad. And if you do go on that Facebook page, you'll see that there's never been one negative word about my dad, not one. That's just who he was. Everybody loved Henry, you know. I just want his face out there so people are looking, because people don't look. But Snohomish has been amazing. I mean, people are helping in every way. I can't believe it, from the UPS store giving us free flyers. They printed like $2,000 worth of flyers for us for free. McDonald's, where my hub was for a little bit, gave us all free coffee, and anybody helping with the search. They're all so nice. Everybody's being so nice. Well, and I just can't believe it. And it was like right before Christmas, this search happened where 200 people showed up on the 23rd. And I was just like, I can't believe you're doing this on your Saturday before Christmas. Thank you so much. It means so much to me. One lady said, you know, this is what Christmas is about. So don't you worry your pretty head about it. And I was like, you guys are so nice. I can't believe how nice you are.
Going back to the stress at work that Henry had been dealing with leading up to his disappearance, his boss continued to cause issues even after Henry had disappeared.
And even in this whole investigation, he tried to paint my dad as a, say my dad was going to quit and he was unstable. I mean, we're dealing with that. He has been removed from his position, and the post office knows this wasn't dealt with right. So he actually showed up at the house the first day dad was missing. My dad's wife, so my mom and dad have been divorced for like 18 years, but my dad got remarried to this lady named Linda, a real nice lady, and he came in the house and she stood up and she goes, she points at him and she screams at him and goes, you, when he comes back, he better not be in trouble because this is your fault. And it was like a huge thing. And he's like standing there saying he's trying to help find Henry. And then he also sent out like a mass email saying that the family is blowing the situation with Henry out of proportion and Henry is fine and not to worry about it. And I'm like, oh, where is Henry then? You know, if he's fine, where is he?
Since the searches for Henry haven't turned up any clues, it's led his family to wonder about other possible scenarios that could have occurred. Could Henry have just intentionally walked away from his life? While considering that idea, Liz has felt that it would have been so strange for her father, since he never liked being alone.
And this isn't like my dad. My dad actually didn't like to be alone. If his wife would go visit her family, he was hanging out with me at my house, or he was with my brother. It wouldn't be like him to run away and hide. I don't know what has happened.
Another scenario that Liz keeps coming back to is the idea that Henry could have had some sort of mental break. Remember those two witnesses who had seen him on the day that he disappeared and had mentioned that he looked confused?
Well, and that's what I really felt had happened, because my dad does deal with a lot of stress. Even with all that, he was always so happy. And I do know that this guy was really hard on him. And it's gotten worse in the last year, and I don't know why. I don't know what happened to make it get so bad. But my dad's always like, oh, yeah, that's his problem. He's cranky. I'm over here. I don't think that way. I'm fine. You know what I mean? But if you get pushed to a point where you're trying your hardest and you feel like you're not getting anywhere, you're going to lose your job that is your world. I mean, yeah, I could totally see that he snapped. Or your brain is a funny thing, you know? I did some serious research on some people that have done that with, and it's like a form of amnesia where it's like a protective thing in your brain that it just shuts it off because it can't handle all of it, you know?
When you consider the idea that Henry could be out there and possibly not even know who he is, he could really be anywhere. Because of this, Liz has been trying to get his story everywhere, not just to the people who live locally. One way that she's been doing this is asking people to share a printable flyer on social media, with the hope that someone somewhere might just recognize him.
Well, and what I'm really focusing on right now is there's a printable flyer on there. It's just making people aware everywhere, because honest to God, my dad knew people in every state, knew people everywhere. Once he knew your name, he became your friend, and he made sure to keep that connection going.
While some media outlets have been helpful by running stories about Henry, others have been a bit insensitive with their approach.
Fox told me there wasn't enough interest around this case to put it on their news channel. And that just like hurts my heart so much. Like, this guy was really important. There's not enough interest around. This is my dad. Come on. You can't say that to me. Like, be nice. Jeez. Even placate me and say, oh, yeah, we're looking into it. That's all I need.
One frustration that many families have when news stations turn them down is that they then turn on the news to find them running stories about things that seem much less important than a missing person. Liz mentioned to me that after she was told that there wasn't enough interest in her father's case, she was frustrated to see that news station run a segment about the best hot chocolate recipes. Since Henry disappeared, Liz has spent a lot of time researching all different possibilities. One of the many things that she's looked into is what happens when someone does drown in a river.
If you do research on bodies in the water, seriously, like 98% of them, something crazy like that, come up within 100 yards of where they went in. It's really close. It's not common for bodies to travel all the way to the harbor. Now, it does happen, but I really wish that the police had searched more of the log jams and more of that stuff, because they have a lot better equipment than, like, say, me and my friends in our boats. But we go there all the time. One of my sisters goes to the river every single day and just looking just to make sure that it's clear, you know, in all the spots that bodies have been found.
The possibility that someone could have drowned in a body of water comes up frequently on this show. I decided to research this further, and I found that Liz is correct. What typically happens when someone drowns is that they quickly sink to the bottom, unless they get caught up on something in the water like a tree or other debris. The current is stronger at the top of the water and decreases with depth. So, a body will usually come to rest very close to where the person went into the water. The amount of time that a body stays at the bottom is influenced by several factors, including temperature and amount of body fat. As bacteria begins to grow, it creates gases, and those gases are the reason that a body will almost always resurface. It's rare for a body to be located more than a few hundred yards downstream from where the person drowned. If a body does drift, it's usually after it's resurfaced. One of the biggest mistakes while searching is looking too far downstream. But with all the researching that Liz has done into this theory to help her narrow down places that they should be looking, and all of the people who have searched and continue to search along the river, they just haven't found him. Even though Liz doesn't believe that her dad would have committed suicide, she doesn't completely discount the idea either.
And for me, even if that is the case, we still have to find his body, because I can't sit here in purgatory or whatever this is, still having hope, but still, you know what I mean? He's gone. Like, it's the worst thing in the world. So I wish that they would search more, but, you know, they told me it all costs so much money and all this. And so it's all about bottom line, I guess.
There's a scenario that I often think about with many cases that I've covered. And that's the idea that what if Henry did intentionally walk away because he just needed a break? And then after seeing all the attention, he's too embarrassed to come back and explain to everyone why he left.
Well, that was another thing I was really worried about, because to tell you the truth, if he did come back and he saw this big stink I made, he'd be like, Elizabeth, oh, come on. It didn't need to be that big of a deal. Like, he would be so embarrassed. He would be. And so that's why I hired this PI, and I'm trying to calm it down just a little bit, because maybe he will come back if that's the case, because there is a chance of that, you know?
Whether Henry walked away, had a mental break, or did harm himself, Liz and her family feel like he was pushed to the brink by his work environment. They've been working with the union to try to bring some changes so that this doesn't happen to anyone else's family.
In that post office, just in the last year, 10 people have quit. And I've talked to the president of the Rural Carers Union and vice president in the for Washington. And nobody likes to send even subs to Snohomish because of how bad of an environment it is. I don't know what I can do about that. I'm working with the unions and trying to make a change, because there has to be some kind of justice for my dad, because he deserves it. He was a sweet, sweet, sweet guy. He was just really a cool guy. And he just is gone. And it's so weird, because he was like kind of a big part of my life, you know, like always taking my kids, always talking to me. Like, we had awesome conversations all the time, talk to him all the time, because I love people like he loves people. I'd run into somebody that he knew, and I'd be like, dad, guess who, blah, blah, blah. And he'd be like, oh, wow, guess who I saw. You know what I mean? Like, I know it sounds stupid, but it was like our thing.
So what happened to Henry Groeneveld on December 11th, 2017? Did he go into the river and just hasn't been found despite all the searches that have been conducted? Did he decide to walk away from his life? Or did he just get pushed to the brink and had some kind of mental break? I do think those witnesses saying that he looked confused or unsure could point to that. If that is what happened, I think it's quite possible that he could be living among the homeless somewhere. I also understand why law enforcement officials did focus so much on the river and assumed that he would resurface. These drowning scenarios have been studied, but nature can still be unpredictable. Another thought is that he could have been walking around that day as witnesses had reported, and what if he had a medical emergency? Could he be somewhere else that hasn't been searched yet, because the focus has been on the water this whole time? Considering all the factors, this is what Liz thinks most likely happened.
I'm just really sad that he was just treated so poorly. And he did have, you know, a lot of stresses in his life, but, you know, these have all been there for a very long time. He was good at managing that stuff. That's what he did. And he took it, and he was just always that person that was just happy to be alive. You woke up every day and it was a great day, super happy. And so that's why this is such a shock. Like, in any way, if he committed suicide, if he just left, if he is wandering around, I think he's had a mental thing and he's either wandering around or hanging out with homeless people. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm hoping that Henry is out there somewhere and maybe someone will recognize him. He sounds like such a wonderful, kind person. If you have any information about the disappearance of Henry Groeneveld, you can contact the Snohomish Police Department at 360-568-0888. To reach the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, please call 425-388-3592. Henry is described as 5'7" tall, weighing about 150 pounds. He was last seen wearing a brown pullover shirt and his blue U.S. Postal Service pants. If you would like to follow Henry's case, please join the Help Find Henry Groeneveld Facebook group. That's where you can find the printable flyer that Liz had mentioned earlier. That brings us to the end of episode 109. I'd like to thank Liz for taking the time to speak with me. She did such a great job of painting a picture of her father for us. If you'd like to reach me, I'm on Facebook where there's a page and a discussion group. I'm on Twitter at The Vanished Pod and on Instagram as well. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. Join me next week, I'll be covering a case from Illinois. Thanks for listening.
There's this lady that was on the PTA with me, and she goes to my dad's church. And when my dad found out that I knew, I said, "Oh, my friend Marlena goes to your church." He made a point, you know, 2 years ago to seek her out and say hi, like, "You knew my daughter." And so ever since then, he says hi to her no matter where they go, right? And at first, Marlena thought this was weird because, you know, a lot of people don't do that anymore. They just don't. And then she actually contacted me in September of this year. She goes, "I just want to tell you that your dad goes out of his way to say hi to me, even when I'm at the grocery store, anywhere." And she goes, "I really wish there was more people in this world like that." And I was like, "Oh, thanks. He's a sweet guy, you know." That was in September. And she didn't have to do that. She didn't have to say that, you know. She just, that's just who he was. That's why I reached out to you. Actually, a member of our group said, "You need to check out her podcast." And so I did. And I was like, it is. It's just like he just vanished, you know?
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
your favorite coffee shop down the street, to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.